All right, good morning. It's December 1st, 2009. We're here in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room. We have a work session scheduled today for case number RC0932. It's DRC et al. Versus GTLE. For those who may be listening in, this is Commissioner Tony Clark. I'm opening the meeting today. Because our chairman, Kevin Kramer, is on the road. He is joining us by phone, and I'll allow both my fellow commissioners to introduce themselves as well. We have two members of staff at the table. We're set up a little, Kevin, a little bit differently here today as far as our configuration. Normally, we'd just be around a work table, but we had to set the room up in hearing style for the hearing that's starting after this, and so the commission is taking the unusual step of being at the bench for the work session, but that seemed to be the way that worked best for this morning. We also have a number of folks in the room. I'll have them identify themselves in just a bit and perhaps pass the mic around so Kevin can hear you on his phone. Brian?
I'll just echo your thoughts. Thanks for coming, folks. And also, I think the big thing is that this is set up, just for those of you in the room and listening, this is set up like a hearing today, and this is a work session. We're going to sit around and talk about what our next step might be, so keep that in the back of your mind. And that's all I really have at this time.
Kevin, you want to say a few words?
Well, other than just to welcome everybody, I guess, to the hearing or to the hearing room for this work session. Sorry, I can't be there, but I am heading to Fargo to the Ag Symposium to be on a forum at noon on cap and trade. So appreciate this opportunity. Again, just remind people to make sure your microphones are on, that the light is green so that I can hear you. Just maybe a couple of things before we get started, and then I'll probably do a lot more listening than talking. We do have a number of motions in front of us, and it's kind of almost confusing. Even as often as I've read it through it all and read Judge Wall's admonitions, I still find myself getting a little blurry-eyed at times as I've read through both the complaints, the motions, the respondents, and back again. But just to sort of set the table a little bit, here's my understanding to this point. I hope that today we can get a clearer picture from our counsel as to what is before us, what our options are, and probably then lead us to yet another work session where we would come to some conclusions. I know that Judge Wall has stated that some of these motions are going to require a vote of the commission before we can move forward. I understand that. I would also say, however, that based on everything I read and discussions I've had with counsel, there should be no holdup in GTLE's progress based on anything that is before us. There's no injunction, for example, nor should there be any holdup, I don't believe, in the discovery process, because, again, nothing that is in front of us or any action pending should stifle any discovery process. So that's my basic understanding to this point. I know that there are summary judgment questions versus pleadings questions, but hopefully some of that can get somewhat clarified today, and then we can come up with that next step. So with that, appreciate everybody's attention this morning.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. And that echoes my thoughts as well. I'm certainly not ready to come to any decisions today about the numerous motions that are before the commission, but rather this is really an opportunity for us to understand the issue a little better with the guidance of our counsel and staff. Well, just for everyone's benefit, a work session, the way that we operate these is they really are an opportunity for the commission to discuss pending cases with our own staff. It's typically not a time where we take input from the public or parties. However, if we do have a specific question that we may need to have clarified, we might ask you to comment on something. With that, why don't we, for Kevin's benefit, pass the mic around and have folks who are in the room identify themselves as well.
Jim Deitch, Director of the Reclamation Division.
Ilana Jeffcoat-Sacco, General Counsel.
Dean Mose, Assistant Director of Reclamation Division.
Go ahead. Robert French, CEO, GTLE.
Blake Williams, CFO of GTLE.
Steve Hovey with GTLE.
Brian Biella with the Crawley Fleck Law Firm representing GTLE.
Okay, and then we've got a few other folks here. Kevin, we'll just pass the mic.
Go ahead. All right, then.
Derek Broughton with Sarah Vogel Law Firm on behalf of DRC.
Mark Preshot, Staff Director of Dakota Resource Council.
And Paul Blackburn with Plains Justice on behalf of Dakota Resource Council.
Okay, thank you very much. With that...
Can I just ask,
yeah.
Are we recording this work session as well?
Let's ask Esther. It's the light's on and we're broadcasting, but probably
that
a good idea.
Might be a good idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea. All right, we are recording. With that, Alana, perhaps the best way to start this off might be to just walk through your memorandum briefly and give us an overview and see if that brings some questions up for us.
Okay, what I tried to do in the memo was simplify things without ignoring any of the issues so that we all could have a kind of a concept of what the questions are that are pending. We did pass the memo out now to the group that's here in the hearing room, so everybody has the same thing. If there's any mistakes in it, they'll have to let me know. But I mentioned first the docket numbers that you will want to review, and if you haven't had an opportunity before this, you'll want to go back and do them, because what you need to decide this case is in those filings. If it's not in those filings, that's a separate problem, but that's what you have in this case to decide these issues. And there are several of them, but they're the ones at the end of the case here, the most recent ones. The questions pending before the commission are based on the motions that have been filed. There's a motion to dismiss, so the question is whether you want to dismiss, and we'll get to the standard here in a minute. If you don't dismiss, the next motion, which was an alternative to motion to dismiss, is the motion for summary judgment. And in response to that, there was a filing from DRC under the summary judgment rule saying either refuse summary judgment or continue it while we do discovery. And there's some standards that I can get into a little bit, and I have cases if I have to get back further into when you would say yes to that and when you would say no. And I have to say I did plagiarize a few things in this little section on decision standards, but I didn't put any of the sites because that would have just taken too long at this point.
Question for you, Lana.
Yes.
The questions pending before the commission, that really hasn't changed despite all the different filings back and forth. I mean,
no.
That's been the same questions that we were faced with when this started, correct?
Except for the change in facts.
Of course.
The withdrawal of the mining permit. And then that what that did was just start the same list of questions mm-hmm. over again,
but the questions
based on a slightly different complaint.
Right.
Okay. But yes, the questions are exactly the same, but because the complaint changed, because
we'll
the facts changed. Yeah. Or not, but I mean, it's kind of that you had a whole series of motions. Now you have the same series of motions pretty much, but a slightly different complaint. That's what you don't have to go back to that first complaint and answer. You can ignore that stuff.
Right.
The one you're dealing with is this one. The courts have said that the motion for the dismissal and the motion for summary judgment are functionally equivalent. They're both going to end the case, okay, in favor of the moving party. The difference is, and this is the thing you need to remember, the motion to dismiss is on the pleadings, meaning answer and complaint. If from the answer and the complaint you conclude that dismissal is correct, then you grant a motion to dismiss. If you go outside the pleadings to something else, the affidavit, we have an affidavit filed, and we've had one for a while from GTLE. We now also have an affidavit from DRC on their motion. So if you go outside these basic pleadings, then you're asking yourself about summary judgment. But the bottom line is they're both going to finish the case, which is why the ALJ says it's a commission decision. The ALJs cannot make any decisions that finish the case, that decide the case. So it's simple, but that's really, I think, the accurate description. So in this case, for the motion to dismiss, you're going to look at the amended complaint and the answer to that complaint. If you're going to look at if you get past that and you say no to that, you're going to get this question about summary judgment, where you can look at these other things, the affidavits and these other things. The standard for deciding whether to dismiss is under that section on page 2, should the complaint be dismissed. You must conclude without a doubt that the claimant can prove no set of facts entitling him to relief. You have to view the allegations in the light most favorable to the claimant. And that means, in this case, not the person that made the motion, but the people with the complaint. And you're going to have to do that in a summary judgment as well. Okay? And somewhere there I have this little quote about, you don't try the facts. You decide if they need to be tried, if there could be two ways to go. Okay? So if you're viewing them in the light most favorable to DRC, and you're absolutely sure, it's absolutely clear that they can't prove any set of facts entitling them to relief, you can grant the motion to dismiss based just on the pleadings. The summary judgment is really much the same, except for adding more information that you can look at to it, because here's the standard in that first paragraph under should summary judgment be granted. This is the standard out of the case law. You can grant summary judgment if either party is entitled to judgment as a matter of law, okay, the legal point, and you have to find no dispute exists as to either the material facts, so that doesn't mean immaterial facts they can dispute. Facts that are material to deciding the case is what this is about, or the inferences to be drawn from the facts, or if resolving factual disputes will not alter the result. So there's a little more leeway, there's a little more thinking, but the bottom line is still the same. Maybe there's a difference of facts, but if it's irrelevant to deciding the case, the legal part of the case, you can grant summary judgment. And here we've got the summary judgment being requested by GTLE, so they have the burden of demonstrating there's no issues of material fact, and you're giving DRC the benefit of all favorable inferences that can reasonably be drawn. And if the moving party meets the burden of showing no genuine issues of material fact, the party opposing cannot rest on mere allegations but must present competent evidence to support that there is a genuine issue of fact. That's where this outside the pleadings comes in. An affidavit, perhaps, that would support showing you there was a reason to go to trial. Okay? Now, that brings us to what DRC filed. They filed a motion under, I think it's 56F, I don't know for sure, to say, don't do this summary judgment thing yet. Either deny it or continue it, because we need time to do discovery so that we can come up with this material outside the pleading that will prove to you that we need a hearing, okay, that we have this contravening fact to show that there are issues of material fact. They want to do the discovery so they could have affidavits to show that there's an issue of material fact.
When did we, understanding I've been here in almost 1 year now, right?
When did we start?
Yeah, when did this first show up across Jim's desk, if you will, and in a time frame that then it became to your desk? I mean, because this has been on my radar since I got here.
Jim's got that, but it's been a while. Bill was here, right?
I don't know. The request came to the Reclamation Division it was filed on July 29th of 2008. Then,
okay. Bill was here for the one before. Yeah. Right. Okay, that's for today. That's all I was really trying to get a snapshot of when this first showed up in commission hands, if you will. Okay.
Now, I wanted you to look on page 3 for this. Basically, I don't have a lot of experience with this 56F because I don't do trial work. But the question, this 56F I quoted for you there, should it appear from the affidavits of a party opposing the motion, that means the Paul Blackburn affidavit, that the party cannot, for the reasons stated in the affidavit, present by affidavit facts essential to justify the party's opposition. The court, or you, may refuse the application for judgment or may make an order continuance to permit affidavits to be obtained or depositions to be taken or discovery to be had. A lot of the cases where this is an issue that I found, and I didn't make an exhaustive search, I started with the party's pleading or filings, but they do talk about a time, sort of a time frame, like only 2 weeks passed or 6 months passed, or you know. And then there's some concurring opinions from the other justices saying, "Well, time's not the standard, you know. It's whether there's a good faith effort and things like that." There are some statements out of the court that come up all the time, like the subdivision is to be applied with a spirit of liberality. And technical rulings are out of place, but technical rulings can go both ways, so I don't know that that's really helpful. I mean, you could technically deny or grant. The important part, I think, is that the party invoking 56F must specifically identify the information sought, how it would preclude summary judgment. If they did all this discovery and they found out something, how would it show you there's an issue of material fact, okay? How it would preclude summary judgment and why they didn't get it before. And you do need to know that there has been some discovery filed now by DRC against GTLE or to obtain information, and there's been an objection filed, and this all happened very recently. It's been about 2 weeks maybe since the DRC discovery went out, and the objection we got on Friday, I believe, from GTLE. And I sent it straight over to the ALJs because that would be the place it would normally be resolved. I knew he was on vacation, but I wanted them to know. And he's back this week, Al Wall, and he will deal with it. I don't know that that issue needs to affect what you're thinking about this, because all you need to know for this is that they did file some discovery within the last couple of weeks, and you still have to look at the affidavit of that they filed to determine if they explained these things appropriately and, you know, why they didn't do discovery 6 months ago kind of thing. So those questions are still there, and I mean, you're certainly free. You'll get a copy of this objection, but I don't know that it necessarily affects that standard.
The whichever route the commission ends up going, walk me through the process. You know, we make a decision, whichever one it might be. You know, I'm guessing that each party then have an opportunity to go somewhere else beyond this commission's jurisdiction. Does that, you know, where does that go to now? And does that change depending upon any scenario?
No. You will make a decision on these two motions, and that decision would not have findings of fact. It wouldn't be a big, long order because you're not hearing evidence and finding facts. And then that would be a final order of the commission that would be done here and there, unless you continued the summary judgment. The one option would continue the ultimate summary judgment question, but let's say you got down that road. You'd be making a similar type of an order. That can be appealed to district court. These are the kinds of standards they'd be using to see if you did what they think is the standard for making those decisions. And then it can be appealed to the Supreme Court. So it's the same as any other administrative decision.
Because the background, I just throw this out for Alana and everybody else, is that, you know, I've had some experience on all sides of this issues in different lifetimes, and one of the things that I don't want us to do is any procedural errors that then open up a door from either party to then advance on something procedural. So that's part. I mean, do you feel confident that we're making the right procedural steps at this point? And as we go forward, is there any areas of concern that you might have?
Well, I think that, I mean, I have no problem with what has been laid out here. I think that, you know, you can make a procedural error if you think there's an issue of material fact, but you grant summary judgment. I mean, that's a procedural error because you've denied the right to litigate the facts. And so you have to be sure in your mind that you don't think. And that's going to get to, I mean, you can think New Star a little bit here,
sure.
Although New Star was way easier because the law was way easier. But you've got a phrase that you are trying to decide. Does what's going on equal that phrase or not? And part of that's a factual decision, and part of that's a legal decision, and it's called an ultimate fact. And then by saying it's a factual decision, I'm not telling you there's an issue of material fact. That's what you will end up working through yourselves. And I think you'll need to be going back over the requirements, the phrase you're dealing with, and then the rationale brought to you so far for why it is or isn't. Starting with Jim's memo and letter and the party's filings. They work through all that.
Alana, can I ask, as we do work through this, getting back to the sort of the two motions that you described right up front, whether it's dismissers or the summary judgment motion, should we consider, or is it within the realm of reality to consider, whether we should have, if not a hearing on one or both of those motions, at least oral arguments, which would provide at least some opportunity for us to maybe probe parties? Or is that, not necessary or inappropriate?
It's certainly not inappropriate. It's often done. And I do think it provides an opportunity for you to ask the questions that you develop that you'd otherwise sort of be asking me and Jim, and we might not know the answers. So, again, you wouldn't be having a factual hearing. It would be lawyers making an oral version of what they've filed. Now, I think in...
Does that become part of the pleading then?
Part of what you can look at, you mean?
Well, I just asked because there are these two standards for dismissal or summary judgment. Does having an oral argument become part of the pleading on which you...
On the dismissal part?
The dismissal part, or is it...
Wouldn't see why not.
Is it more like an affidavit? I can't imagine.
No, I think if you had an oral argument on a motion to dismiss, it would be part of what you could look at to decide whether the pleading is entitled to. No. I mean, I don't think so. I guess, and I haven't done a lot of this, but conceivably, because you have these affidavits that are out there supporting the summary judgment or the response to the summary judgment, I don't know if that's ever been taken as testimony, as live testimony. I don't honestly know the answer to that. It's a question I can look up, though. I'll ask somebody who knows, like Doug Barr. But, I mean, that's facts, so I don't know. I'm not sure that You'd have to do that, though, because what you're trying to ask yourself is there an issue to try? You're not going to choose which fact you believe. You're just trying to say, are there any facts that people are entitled to present evidence on?
So,
the third issue that's here, is that one that, assume for the sake of argument that the commission decides that it should neither be dismissed nor summary judgment granted? You never get to that question, right?
That's correct. Okay. And parties are entitled to do their discovery without your permission.
Is that considered a final decision then that's appealable if the motions are not granted? Because
that would be appeal. Yes, I mean the losing party can appeal, certainly.
Can appeal just that.
I don't think they appeal it till at the very end when you raise all the different issues.
You'd hold the whole hearing and then at the end.
Right, and then they'd say they were wrong on this and they were wrong on that and then wrong on this other thing. Unless there's a special, there's probably a way to request that you would allow them to appeal it at this point.
Sure. Well, then we would delay the rest of the process till a court determines whether or not we acted properly. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, except I don't think that's looked upon with favor in the judicial system. I mean, sometimes there's a good reason for it, but we'd have to work through the pros and cons of that.
So the next time, the goal here today, I think I'm very comfortable with where I'm at right now. And so the next step, if you will, is what the three of us just say, okay, here's what I think we should do. I mean, how do you see it progressing now? I mean, it needs to be longer than a 50-minute session, obviously. But how do you tie this in? Because I'm pretty confident where I'm at. I want to review some more things. But then how does that tie in when you talk about voting on things?
Well, I don't know. The commission, I guess, should kind of ask itself, I think, if it's ready for a real meat of the issue discussion with each other, or if you need more time to review and maybe talk to people individually or whatever.
Just a couple of weeks to go through the staff.
Yeah, agreed.
And then I guess, you'd have a work session where you would be talking about the substantive issues underneath each of these procedural type questions with each other, because you need to give some direction to the staff what to write.
Is we had this other work session and we talked through, if we get to the the first point, second point, whatever, but then it doesn't become an order. You talked about bringing different things in front of us to vote on.
You would give direction at the work session give direction to staff what to draft, and then it would go on a regular meeting.
Occurrence between two of us.
Right. Or if then you'll tell us to draft two or three different
theoretically
things.
There's three different positions. We could have three different commissioners.
Right. And we're good at that. We're used to that.
Okay.
And but somebody's
like
going to give us direction.
Side.
Exactly.
And maybe the Vikings will still be undefeated.
Kevin, does this work for you? I know it's in your portfolio, but perhaps we just put on admin for the, is there a next meeting, the 9th or 10th?
10th.
10th. Scheduling a work session.
I think that's great. Yeah.
And so then you'd talk about whether you wanted oral argument then as well.
Right.
I'll find out if the parties that, even want to do that. Or if that's okay, or do you want to demand it?
I'm interested in if they have a preference one way or another.
Okay.
I know you said that, time and all this, but I'm very, this has been around since, July 29th of 2008. Let's go through the procedural, not make any mistakes, but let's move this ball forward.
Yeah, I was just going to caution against too much urgency, because quite honestly, I've made it up front. There is nothing that's holding this project up that's in front of us. And I think that's an important reminder to us, because due process is, a lack of due process will get us in a lot more trouble than
that's
fast. So that, I don't know, Counselor, but what you think, but I just want to be certain that there's nothing pending that's holding up either progress or discovery.
not that I can see, and if the parties have something they're thinking of that I've missed, they'll be telling me in a minute. I know that. I did wonder if you had requests of staff at this point. One of the things I thought of was perhaps a very sort of summarized version of the original rationale. You know, here's the rule, here's the law, here's why we think it meets this definition. And Jim and I can put that together. But something that is kind of more of an outline form, if that would be helpful.
But staff will not be recommending any particular viewpoint of the choices, if you will. Like sometimes we do that.
Well, I think staff has a position and has had a position since day one on what they think this means. And if you need it, I mean, you have it in the memo and you have it in the letter that went out. But if you want a different version of that, a shorter or something, we'll do it.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know how everybody else feels, but I'm going to have to go through it anyway, and so I don't want to just sort of make work for staff.
I think staff's done enough. It's just up to us, me personally, spool it all together.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Thanks.
Okay, Kevin, anything else on your end?
No, I don't think so. I think putting it on scheduling for next admin is perfect.
Okay. All right, unless there's anything
else.
Thanks,
everybody.
All right, thank you.
Are you calling back in?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, sounds good. Have a good trip.
Thank you.
All right, we'll close the work session. Thanks.